Hello there, welcome to episode 2 of Back in the Day, and we've got another special guest this week with my old friend John Brett from Stone Foundries and now Aeromet International.
Afternoon, Dave.
So, when did you join Stone Foundries?
1976.
Bloody hell. I came along in 85, and it went from there. We had a lot of different teams supported over the years, didn't we? We had West Ham, we had Man United, we had Arsenal, Tottenham, obviously. Cholton was represented because it was right next to the ground. But we've never been really fierce about Arsenal Tottenham, have we? We just sort of discuss it. Yeah. It's never come to blows or effing and blinding. We just talk about it and take the piss, basically.
Yeah, friendly rivals.
Well, that's the name of our fantasy football team.
It is, yeah.
But we're not tight. We have got teams of our own as well.
Yeah.
Right, going back, John, why Tottenham?
Why Tottenham? I think I was born in 59 and I was at primary
school. Just a youngster
then?
Just a youngster?
Yeah, 1959.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was at primary school and I was just getting into football. I would have been, I don't know, eight years old, I suppose. And my next door neighbour was a couple of years older than me and we used to have to catch a coach because I lived right in the sticks and we got on the old coach and off we go. And he said to me on a Friday, I said, you watching a cup final tomorrow? I said, what cup final? What's a cup final? Oh, yeah, cup final. I said, who's in it? Oh, it's Chelsea. It's my team, he said. And he said, and it's Spurs. I said, oh. Well, I'll be Spurs then, if you're going to be Chelsea. Didn't think no more of it. Monday morning, on the coach again, off we go. Oh, well, who won the cup final then? Oh, Spurs won the cup final. Oh, that's my team, isn't it? And from that day in 1967, I was a Spurs fan.
God, and that was it. If you'd been a Spurs fan, mate,
I would have picked Chelsea.
You would have won Champions Leagues and League Championships.
Yep.
But before we get into Tottenham too much, I've got to tell you about the game I went to yesterday. National League South, Dulwich Hamlet versus Hungerford Town. Now, I'm a big Dulwich Hamlet fan, but living in Rochester, Medway, I tend to go to just away games because there are a lot of Kent teams in the league. I do go to home games, but they're few and far between. But as soon as I play on a Sunday, I thought the traffic would be better. So I took my young grandson, Fred, first time he'd been to a home game. And blimey, what a game it was. We scored first, sort of dominating the game, and then they equalised after about half hour, and that was it, half time. And the second half weren't really going anywhere, and then we got a penalty, and it was a penalty. And anyway, in the programme, they don't put the numbers next to the team. You get all new players every year down that level. So I didn't. It was just a number 8 and a number 10.
Right.
And the number 8 goes over to the corner flag, gets the ball, comes back. Gets over to the spot, number 10 comes over, says, no, mate, I'm having that. So, yeah, the Di Canio Lampard situation, they're fighting over to get this ball. Anyway, the number 10 took it off him. Here we go, took the penalty, about 10 foot over the bar.
Oh,
God. Anyway, about 10 minutes later, I got another penalty. This time, number 8's got the ball, and I'm taking this one. Takes it, Goldie saved it. So that's two penalties down the Swanee. Anyway, we carry on. And their manager, after the second penalty, their manager got a red card. He got sent off underneath the stands. I don't know where he went, but he weren't there anymore. And then Dully scored 2-1. And then we got another one, 3-1. And then they had a player sent off in the 93rd minute. So old Fred said, God, it's the best game I've ever been to. And the cherry on the icing on the cake, I had a fiver on 3-1.
Wow.
So there you go. So all in all, it was a good old day.
It could have been 5-1 and you'd have lost your money.
Yeah, so it was a good thing they did miss them penalties, really, money-wise. Anyway, getting back to Chelsea-Tottenham Cup final. Tottenham team that day, Jennings, Kinnear, Knowles, Mullery, England, Mackay, Robertson, Greaves, Gilzean, Venables, Saul. Any favourites amongst them? I mean,
Jimmy Greaves.
Mind you, he didn't get much of a kick that game. Old Ron Harris was on him, and
I bet he got more than a kick.
He done a pretty good job on him. But what about the goalkeeper Jennings? He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was a legend. Yeah.
But if you do want to see a terrible performance by Pat Jennings at the end of that season or beginning of next season, they played a friendly in Glasgow against Celtic, who were then European champions, and it's 3-3, and he had an absolute nightmare. Dropped everything. Anyway, after that, Mackay, he was the only survivor of the double team, 61.
Right.
Mackay, Robertson and Jones left. Venables left in 69. And in their place came homegrown players, Perriman, Evans and Pratt. A new signing, Martin Chivers. Now, he was a player, Chivers, wasn't he?
Yeah, do you know what, though? He never really done it for me, though. He seemed to be so lethargic and so sort of laid back, if you want. He didn't. He never seemed to be sort of trying for me.
I'll tell you what, in that year that Arsenal done the double, 70-71, he was out of this world, Chivers. I tell you, he was fantastic. I mean, McClintock got their Footballer of the Year award, but he should have got it, really. He just, every time he kicked the ball, it seemed to go in the goal. He was fantastic. Then the following year, Spurs broke the British transfer record by Martin Peters from West Ham, with Jimmy Greaves going the other way. Well, he didn't get much out of Jimmy, did he? Because he packed up pretty much.
Yeah, he did, yeah, yeah.
But Peters, he was a funny player, wasn't he?
Yeah, again, he seemed to be... he's obviously one of the players, a bit like, I suppose, an early Frank Lampard. He always seemed to arrive in the box a bit late and seemed to get his head or his foot on it. Or
well, like Lampard, even though he's a midfield player, he didn't sort of dominate midfield, no, did he? No. He was more known for coming on late and scoring goals.
In goals, yeah.
But he
yeah.
was a class act, wasn't he?
He was.
He scored
yeah.
some good goals as
yeah.
well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, you think England, you know, World Cup final. You know.
Yeah, and a lot of England games, when it was sort of guy 0-0 against Scotland, it was always him who came yeah. up ahead in the 60-odd
yeah,
minute.
Yeah, so he just seemed
something.
To drift in at the far post. Yeah, that knack of getting in there.
He was a real class act. They won the League Cup in 71, beating Villa 2-0. I think they were a third division side at the time, Villa, but they beat them anyway. Ralph Coates arrived in the summer of 71 for £192,000. And that year you won the UEFA Cup in 71-72, knocking out AC Milan in the final. And then you had a final against Wolves. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that, yes. Yeah.
And that was Chivers again. He won the first leg up, yes, up at Molineux.
Up at Molineux, yeah. I think, was it a draw, second leg, at Tottenham?
Yeah, Mullery scored yeah. early on to yeah. seal, kill the game. Yeah. And then it's 3-2 on aggregate.
Yeah.
But you look at that team from 67 with them players and up to now, 72, with the players they got, they sort of underachieved.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And it's also, yeah. when you get to a European final, it's also a bit disappointing when you play another English team. Mm. Don't
yeah.
you think? Is yes. you sort of haven't got that.
Yeah, it was a bit like last year with the Chelsea Man City European Cup final, wasn't it? It was, yeah. you know. They both sort of cancelled each other out, and they knew what they, you know, they played each other in the league, and it was just sort
yeah,
of,
there's that excitement's missing. It. Yeah. It's not like you're playing Real Madrid or no. Bayern Munich, no. mind you. We played Barcelona, it didn't do us any good, did it? I'd rather have played Norwich. Anyway, another League Cup came in 1973, 1-0 win over Norwich. Ralph Coates scored the goal. What do you think of old Ralph with Bobby Charlton?
I just remember him like Bobby Charlton. His hair was like, it's just sort of, you know, it was a comb over, wasn't it? It was yeah. sort of went from one side of the head to the other.
First time I ever saw Ralph Coates, I used to go over the Arsenal earlier, about 1967. Pat Rice made his debut, I think, or very early in his career. And Burnley, they're playing Burnley, and Ralph Coates was left wing for Burnley, and he absolutely tormented Pat Rice all day, all night, rather. I mean, he just roasted him. But he didn't give up and made himself into a decent player. Right, after 74, mate, you go into decline. They did reach the 1974 UEFA Cup final in Rotterdam. Actually, it was over two legs. They drew with Feyenoord 2-2, and then you lost 2-0 in Rotterdam, the right. Feyenoord. And there was a lot of crowd trouble. I mean, the Tottenham fans rioted, in actual fact. And after that, Bill Nickerson became disillusioned and resigned. But when you think about it, I think when you won the Cup Winners' Cup in 63, the first British team, I think yeah. that was in Rotterdam. And he must have had the sort of memories of the contrast of, it's so easy back in the day,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was nothing like that in 1963, and the era game had changed from 63 yeah. to 74. Yeah. And he did carry on the following season, but he resigned after a 4-0 home defeat to Middlesbrough in the League Cup. I mean, that was it. I mean, he was a good bloke, Bill Nick, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The old school manager, you would say.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he was great. And then you appointed Terry Neill.
Where did he come from?
He didn't come straight from us. I think he managed Hull for a while, didn't he? He was appointing me. What were they thinking of? I mean, he's obviously an Arsenal man, wasn't he? Through and through. I mean, but the worst is yet to come in later years. But I mean, that was a bit of a strange one.
Yeah.
And they narrowly avoided relegation at the end of the 74-75 season. But being a former Arsenal player, he was never accepted by the fans, and he left to join Arsenal in mid-76 to be replaced by his assistant, Keith Birkinshaw. Do you remember Keith Birkinshaw?
I do remember Keith Birkinshaw, yeah.
He was one of them typically English, quiet blokes, one of the good blokes.
Yes, yeah.
End of his first year as manager, they were relegated, so not a great start. I mean, Tottenham getting relegated is ridiculous, isn't it? When you think about it.
When you think about it now, yes.
Man United got relegated in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, right, most of the early 70s cup-winning team had either left or retired. The biggest shock came in the summer of 77 when Pat Jennings was sold for a bargain $45,000 to local rivals Arsenal. Jennings played on for another 7 seasons.
That's crazy, that was just... I was thinking about that earlier.
You must have really rated Barry Daines.
Yeah, and I think he might have stayed for 2 or 3 seasons and then he was gone.
Yeah, I mean, that was a... But then he never seemed to get the hate from the Tottenham fans
that someone else got later on. Yeah, I think I don't know if he wanted to go. I think it was Barry Daines was going to leave if he's not given the number one spot. So I think Pat was pushed out a little bit. I have to say, at the time... Probably, I don't know, it would have been the early 90s maybe. I used to go to Tottenham quite a lot and watch. A friend of mine had a box there and he used to ring up and say, I've got so many tickets free, do you want to go and watch it? And from Charlton, like on an evening, from drive up to Tottenham, park opposite in the school, and then go in the box. And Pat Jennings used to come round. And I have to say, he's the biggest hands on any man I've ever seen.
Well, he was famous for catching the crosses one-handed, wasn't he?
But they were like shovels, his hands. They were. We used to shake your hand and it was just dwarfed. I used to think, Jesus, look at the size of them hands.
He had that famous game at Liverpool, didn't he, where he saved two penalties
in front of the cop, I was going to say. Yeah. And he scored a goal, didn't he, from a goal kick?
I think it was the Charity Shield of 68.
Against United.
Yeah, Old Trafford, it's 3-3 draw, and he's put it over...
Stepney's head.
I think in league football, Jennings was better than Banks.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think in national football, Gordon Banks seemed to grow, but maybe because let's face it, Gordon Banks didn't really play for good teams, did he?
No, he didn't. Leicester and Stoke.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could never understand that. Why he left Leicester in the first place... The manager said he's passed his best, apparently. Mm. I read his autobiography. And why did Arsenal buy him? I mean, we had Jim Furnell at the time. We could have got him for 52,000.
Nothing, is it? Peanuts, really, when you think of it.
He could have been there in the double year and all that. But no one came in for him, so he ended up at Stoke. Who were always famous for buying old players back in them
days. Yes, yeah.
Right, so that's that. Promotion straight away, first season. But you only come third on goal difference from Brighton. So it's pretty close for other thing. But the highlight was a 9-0 win over Bristol Rovers in which Colin Lee made his debut scoring 4 goals. Yeah. Do you remember that? It was a match of the day.
It was a match of the day, yeah.
I remember that. But he didn't come the match after that, did he? I think he went to Chelsea afterwards.
He did go to Chelsea, yeah.
Right. This was an exciting summer for Tottenham fans, with not only promotion, but the signing for £750,000 for 2 Argentine internationals, Ozzyard Delis and Ricardo Villa. What did you think of that?
I suppose I didn't really know a lot about him. I suppose you'd seen him in the World Cup.
They said a lot about Ozzyard Delis. Yes. I think he wore number 2. I think their squad was in alphabetical order. I think he wore number 2 in the World Cup. But everyone said how good he was.
Yes, yeah. I mean, he was the engine, I thought, of the Argentinian side, where he got the ball and knocked it easy and then run. A bit like Modric was in later years for us. Sort of, you know, everything went through him. Villa was a bit hot and cold.
I think Villa came as just to have a mate.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get anyway.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, someone that spoke the language.
Might be doing a disservice, but...
Yeah, I mean, he obviously scored that famous goal in the cup final against Man City. But apart from that, I don't ever remember him doing anything.
No. I mean, he scored a blinding goal at Ivory against Wolves in the semi-final, one of the cup winning years, I remember. But he... I think he was a bit of a bit player, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, it's... He wasn't one of the first names on the team sheet.
No,
by
definitely not. This was a period of rebuilding players. They were brought in from the youth teams, such as Mark Falco, Paul Miller, Chris Hughton. He was a good player, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mickey Hazard, I thought Mickey Hazard was a good player.
Yeah, he was a good player, yeah.
He was another one who ended up at Chelsea, I think.
He did, yeah.
He was quite skillful, wasn't he? Other players were brought in, Graham Roberts, Tony Galvin, and also the strike partnership of Garth Crooks. And Steve Archibald. Yeah. And you still had Steve Perriman, an emerging talent in Glenn Hoddle. So the squad was looking pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty,
to take on the 80s.
Yeah. I don't think it had the strength in depth to obviously win the league, and which proved right, but it was a good cup side.
Well, that's how it turned out, wasn't it? In the 1980s, you started by reaching the FA Cup final the year of the one again, 1981. 1981. He was the 100th FA Cup final against Manchester City, in which you must remember that one. It was the first game was famous, wasn't it? But for one, do you remember the reason why it was famous? Something that happened that never happened before?
Was it own goals?
Tommy Hutchinson scored both goals.
Yeah.
I got into trouble over that cup final. At the time, I was manager of an off licence. Unwins it was. Remember Unwins off?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I was, I'd done it for about a year and a bit, and it was the day of the cup final when I was supposed to open up at 5 o'clock. And I thought, I'm not going to miss the cup final, you know, even though it was Tottenham. I probably wanted Man City to book Man City, see Tottenham lose. But I thought, what I'll do, I'll put a notice on the board, going to open up a bit late today, open at 5:30. You know, the game went to extra time, so I didn't get there until gone 6. And someone grasped me up and they sent a letter to the management. And the old area manager come down there to go, aren't we? I got like a written warning.
Yeah.
Rat bags.
Yeah.
Tottenham fan, I bet. But now, about that time, John, this came out. Do you remember this? Wembley, his knees have gone all trembly. Come on, you Spurs. Come on, you Spurs. Aussies go to Wembley. His knees have gone all trembly. There's that famous bit in it where he goes to talk about Tottenham.
Yeah. it was his dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his dream. These football songs are embarrassing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Spurs, everyone was the worst, though. Good old Arsenal. Good old, God, it's absolute rubbish. Right, so the first game ended as a 1-1 draw, and the replay, you came from 2-1 down to 3-2, and just as you mentioned, the winning goal was a bit special, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think at the time, I thought, God, shoot. And he just kept sort of running with it and then sort of going inside and then outside.
There's that
and
famous
then sort of
bit,
toe
there?
Poked it underneath him.
That's right. There's that famous bit. If you look at it, Garth Crooks is behind him and Garth Crooks is sort of doing his body. And he actually kicks the ball when he kicks the ball. The ball that's there. Yeah. It's quite funny. But there was also another good goal in that game, the one by Steve McKenzie that he hit from
distance. Yes.
That was a good goal.
Yeah.
But anyway, you won the cup 3-2. And then you signed Ray Clements from Liverpool. That was a shock,
wasn't
it?
That was really strange, yeah.
I don't know why he left there. But, I mean, was he under threat from Grobbelaar? He is a better goalkeeper than Grobbelaar, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, Grobbelaar, I think, probably had more, not presence about him, but it was more, I don't know, I suppose commercial. I don't, you know. Clements seemed to be the safe pair of
hands. He was steady, wasn't he?
Yeah, steady, yeah.
I don't think he was as good as Shilton.
Given a choice
of the two. They're both great goalkeepers, but I think Shilton just edged it. But, he was still a great goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And I'd never have chucked him out for Grobbelaar.
You wouldn't have thought so, no.
He was too erratic.
Yeah.
So the year of the one carries on. FA Cup 21 and 81. League 51 and 61. League Cup 71. Where's it all going to end? What's going to happen in 91, I wonder? Anyway, 1981-82 was a successful season. You retained the FA Cup after beating QPR 1-0 after a replay.
As a penalty, I think. Wasn't it?
A boring final.
It was a boring
final. It's all right if you're in it and you're winning it, but God.
Yeah, but yeah, Hoddle scored, I think.
Penalty, wasn't it? Yeah. I can't remember who was brought down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it, for the neutral, it was a game forgotten. But it's another cup win, so there you go. And you lost to Liverpool in the League Cup final after extra time. That's no shame, is it? Because they were a great side.
They was a good side in them days, yeah. I mean, they were, you know.
And the cup, also in the Cup Winners' Cup, you lost 2-1 to Barcelona in the semi-final, drawing 1-0 at home and losing 1-0 at the Nou Camp. Do you know who the scorer of the Barcelona goal was? Charlton legend?
Simerson?
Yeah, Alan Simerson. He was a decent player.
He was a decent player, yeah. Yeah.
And then European glory again. In 1984, you reached the final of the UEFA Cup, both legs ending 1-1. Spurs won the penalty shootout. And who was the goalie who became a hero that night?
That was... I can see him now, saving it.
He sort of ran around with his fist in the air, didn't he? Shall I tell you?
Yeah,
cool. Tony Parks.
That's him.
That really was his moment of glory, wasn't
it? It was, yes, yeah.
That was about it.
Was, right. Was Clements injured?
I suppose he must have been, yes. Yeah, because I think he would have been around then, sure.
No, and he hadn't gone by then, did he? I think he was still at Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he must have been there long, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
He carried on to about mid-late 30s, I'd have thought. I suppose he was injured, yeah. I never really gave that much thought. At the end of the season, following disagreements with the directors, Berkenshaw resigned and was succeeded by his assistant, Peter Shreves. Well, that's pretty seamless, isn't it?
That was just a nothing sort of appointment. He didn't pull up any trees. He didn't inspire you. It was just a nothing, you know. It was just.
But I found out something today that I've read something today, but I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe you've heard this as well. In between the Berkenshaw and Shreves, it was at this time, according to the then Tottenham chairman, Irving Scholar, he shook hands with Alex Ferguson to become manager of Tottenham, but later Ferguson backed out.
There was a rumour that, yes, he did agree to come to Tottenham, yeah, but then changed his mind.
Because Aberdeen were really successful, that's it. I mean, they won the Cup Winners' Cup, I think, in 83, so...
Yes, yeah.
Well, that could have changed the whole... But then again, he weren't successful when he first joined Man United.
No, he nearly... It was one
about
game,
four,
wasn't
four
it?
4 years, wasn't
it? One game, terrific. Wasn't it? Who scored in a cup replay?
It was Richie, wasn't it?
No.
Wasn't it Richie?
Little bloke played up front.
I can't remember. I know the Heath one saved Howard Kendall that time, but... Yeah,
Robbins.
It was Mark Robbins,
Mark,
yeah.
Robbins. No, Mark Robbins.
He was good, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Well, he should have done better. Yeah.
He's saved.
I mean, he was there about 4 years, never won a bean.
No.
And then he wouldn't happen there. He would have been sacked, wouldn't he, after about a year and a half?
Yeah.
But he got away with it and the rest. Maybe these chairmen should give more time to these managers.
Yeah.
But it's all about results, isn't it?
It is nowadays. I think you had a little bit more time in them days.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's, you know, money talks.
The 84-85 season started very well, but a series of poor results ended all title hopes and you finished third behind eventual champions Everton and Liverpool. Now, the 85-86 season proved disappointing despite the signings of Chris Waddle and Paul Allen, and Shreves was sacked at the end of the season. And 1986 saw the departure of Steve Perriman. Now, Steve Perriman was a really good player for you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
When he first came in the team... So all the mates were like Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, and we all had them youngsters. We had Charlie Jules, they had Alan Hudson, and you had Perriman. Now, in skill stakes, he was way behind.
Oh, yeah, the others, yeah.
But when you think of the service they gave to the clubs, he comes out on top by a mile. Yeah. The other two just didn't fulfil their potential.
They peaked, and then that was it, where Perriman sort of long...
I mean, he even changed his position, didn't he? Played at the back, played right back. I think if you'd done a Tottenham 11, you'd have to find a place for him.
You'd probably be right back. But he was like your Pat Rice, and he was our Steve Perriman. He was Mr. Dependable. You knew you was going to get an 8 out of 10 from him.
I read Johnny Giles' autobiography, and he had very high praise of Steve Perriman. He really rated him. Thought he was a really good player, and he was a good player. And do you know who was appointed then, John?
What year was that?
86.
After Shreves.
You've got the Luton Town manager, David Plink.
Oh, right. Oh, God.
He's not the most exciting bloke, is he?
No. I can only remember him running on the pitch and
Luton yeah. when they got promoted.
Yeah.
The yeah. left back's got Alexic or
something. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Spurs played with what was an unusual formation for that time. It was a five-man midfield. Hoddle, Ardiles, Allen, Waddle and Steve Hodge. The lone striker, Clive Allen, scored 49 in all competitions. Yeah. Well, I'm surprised he's only been up there and he's got that five-man feeding him. Yeah. I mean, but Clive Allen, he was a strange one, wasn't he? He never really...
Was he Palace? Was he Arsenal at one time?
Well, no, he went to Arsenal but never played a game.
No, and then he was Tottenham. He seemed to go around all the London clubs but never sort of really stay, you know. I think West Ham at one time.
He got five England caps, but I don't remember him really playing for England. I don't. He just come on a sub.
I can remember getting 49 goals because the 49 goal, 49th, was in the cup final against Coventry. And I think we scored in the first few minutes. He got a flying header.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, this is, you know, 1-0 up. This is going to be, here we go, another cup final. But not to be.
That's still a club record, by the way. Not surprised, really, 49 goals in all comps. Yeah. Mind you, now with the Champions League playing so many games, it is possible it could go. But you don't need another striker if you're one striker scoring 49.
No, exactly.
You finished the season empty-handed, losing a League Cup semi-final at Arsenal, despite winning the first league 1-0 at Highbury. I remember them games, obviously being an Arsenal fan. I know Clive Allen scored the goal at Highbury. And obviously winning the first leg away, you really fancy yourself. I'll tell you who's really good for us in the games at Tottenham was David Rocastle. He was a class player. Then you got a real shock when losing to underdogs Coventry City 3-2 in the FA Cup final. I mean, you finished third in the league. They were 10th, so you were in pretty strong. Plus, you're the glamour team. You'd have been strong favourites.
We scored first, and I thought we was just going to, you know, they're going to roll over, and that was going to be it, you know.
They didn't, did they?
No.
It was a good cup final, though.
It was a good cup final. It was end-to-end,
wasn't
it?
That bloke scored the diving header, was it?
Hutchins. Hutchinson, no.
Belching? Something like that.
Yeah, no.
I can see him scoring it now. He sort of took off like an exercise.
It was a winger. He absolutely roasted our left back all game.
But, I mean, I think that's the first time you ever lost you lost the League Cup final. Yes. That's your first FA Cup final we lost. Right, the closed season of 1987 saw the sale of Glenn Hoddle to Monaco. He was 30. I mean, he should have held on to him, shouldn't you?
He
done well over there, though.
Yes, he was our creative player, really.
But he did embarrass himself with this. Diamond Lights, Chris and Glenn, Glenn and Chris.
They could be on the old Voice now, couldn't they? Or the whatever.
Well, they have to sing live, wouldn't they? I don't think they ever sung live. Yeah. I mean, that's right, miming on Top of the Pops when you actually got to go and sing live. I don't think they could have done that. But that was pretty embarrassing. October 87, Pleat quits the club following allegations about his private life, and in comes Terry Venables.
L-Tel.
That must have been a bit exciting, getting old Tel in.
Yeah, there's a man who liked to deal.
But he despite much confidence, because he brought in Terry Fenwick and Paul Walsh. We're not exactly well-beaters, are they?
No.
Who failed to lift the team and they finished 13th. Clive Allen, who had been less prolific, was sold to Bordeaux, so he was gone. So he's really got to establish himself, and he does that when he got the fans really excited when he signed Paul Gascoigne from Newcastle for a national record of £2 million. But here's the funny thing. He also, at that time, signed Paul Stewart from Man City for £1.7 million. Now, Gascoigne's £2 million, Stewart's £1.7. There's not that little gap between them on the pitch, is there?
No, there wasn't. I think Stewart was... He used to, obviously, I think, play centre-forward. And then they actually dropped him back to centre midfield. And he had a good engine. He got backwards and forwards, and he was a workhorse. I do think he scored a winning goal for us in one of the cup finals a bit later on.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Yeah. I have to think about that. But I mean, I couldn't believe the small gap of 0.3 of a mil.
Yeah, yeah. For
the, between Gascoigne and... Because Gascoigne...
Stewart was more established at the time, and Gascoigne was obviously coming through. I think one was more... SA established, and Gascoigne was had the potential.
I saw Gascoigne live before while he played for Newcastle. I used to go and watch Charlton when they were sharing Crystal Palace's ground, and I used to go with the brother-in-law. When I went with the brother-in-law, he always used to like going for a few pints beforehand, and we sort of time crept up on us. It's 3 o'clock kickoff, and so he sort of looked at the time, and it's 3:05. Oh, flipping hell, big in the ground. He's got in the ground, it's already 2-0. Garth Crook scored twice for Charlton in the first about 5 minutes, and that was it. But Gascoigne played for Newcastle that day. Didn't really show anything that day. But then again, 2-0 down 5 minutes, probably lost interest. But he was a special talent, no doubt.
Yes, yeah. Unfortunately, I not wasted it, but... There was more potential to untap, and it.
Yeah, if you had had sort of like Frank Lampard's mentality,
yes,
he would have been a better player.
Yeah, and I do wonder whether or not if he'd have had enough sort of come into London, and maybe a different manager, Alex Ferguson was supposed to be after him at the time.
Yeah, yeah, he wouldn't have stood for no nonsense.
No, and maybe then he would have, you know, been a different player.
Right, you had a bad start to the season, being second bottom at the end of October, but improved to finish sixth. And by the end of the 80s, Spurs find themselves with financial difficulties. July 89 saw the arrival of England striker Gary Lineker from Barcelona for $1.2 million, and sold Chris Waddle to Marseille for $4.25 million a few days later. Now, Lineker, that's got to be a good buy.
I think at the time, a very good buy. But, you know, it's bringing someone in and then letting someone go. It's just not, it's not improving, are you? It's, you're improving in the centre forward, but you let one of the best left wingers, or, you know, where's the supply going to come from?
Oh, Waddle, he never done it for England, did he? Or John Barnes?
Well, he missed the penalty for England.
Oh, yeah, he ain't come down yet, that one, has he?
No.
Still up there. But, I mean, you had Waddle and Barnes, both left wingers, and they were both really good in league football, but they never, I know Barnes scored that great goal, didn't he, against Brazil?
Yeah.
But one swallow don't make a summer,
no,
does it?
No.
And they never really done it in international.
They wasn't consistent, either of them. They had good games, and then they'd be being missing for games.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, that. Terry Venables then joined forces with businessman Alan Sugar to gain control of the club, buying out Irving Scholar, or Tottenham Hotspur PLC as it was, Irving Scholar for £2 million. Apparently, there's a story somewhere, Alan Sugar didn't know much about the club at all. He made himself out to be this big Spurs fan. But apparently, he was at some conference or something, and someone said to him about the double team. And he goes, "What double?" Yeah. You know nothing about it. I don't know if that's true. I might be doing him a disservice there, but it's just like I read. Right, with Lineker and Gascoigne in the team, Spurs finished a respectable third in the 1989-90 season. In the following season, they began the season with 10 unbeaten games, but faded away and finished 10th in the league. Cool. But this being 1990-91, there could be a bit of a cup run coming along. This season remains a highlight for Spans, for their performance in the FA Cup. A 3-1 victory over Arsenal in the semi-final at Wembley that included a 30-yard free kick from Paul Gascoigne that many people think is one of the greatest ever Wembley goals.
I think David Seaman should have saved
it. So do I. I made a note of that. I think he saw it coming from such a long way. Yeah. And at that time, this is before Schmeichel really came into the scene, I think he was the best goalie in the world at that point. I think he was fantastic. I mean, he looked unbeatable. But this particular game, he had a bit of a mare.
He did have a bit of a mare. I think Lineker got a couple.
Yeah, Lineker scored a tap-in, making 2-0. Yeah. Alan Smith scored a really good header. Then we were really coming on strong.
Yeah.
And then Lineker went through, and he got a big hand on it and just handed it into his own goal.
Yeah.
That was gutted. Yeah. But anyway, I'll tell you, had a really great game that day. It was an unsung hero of yours, Vinnie Samways.
Yes, he did.
If you watched that game.
It was all over, wasn't it?
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was one of your, he was like a John Pratt, wasn't he? Yeah. He was there, unappreciated.
Yes, I can remember that. Yeah, he always seemed the ball and he'd give it easy and then get it back again and then he was somewhere else and then he'd get it and give it.
He looked a brilliant player that day. So off to the final against Nottingham Forest. But in the final, Gascoigne suffered serious cruciate ligament damage to his knee following a reckless tackle on opponent Gary Charles. Now, what was up with him that day? He weren't right, was he?
No, I think...
Even coming onto the pitch, he was putting all funny faces.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. It was almost like he was on something, and he wasn't. He was probably just hyper. You know, when you read about him, he was just one of those players that not pressure, but just used to get absolutely hyper and uncontrollable. To be fair, it should have been sent off for the first tackle. I think he took.
Yeah, I think he had been seriously. He kicked old. Was it Powell? Gary Charles was the tackle that was on, but that he kicked someone in the chest.
Yes,
the midfield player. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, and Pierce scored from the free kick.
Good goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he could have been sent off for that.
Yeah, I mean, and it would have done.
Gary, it was a Gary someone.
If he hadn't been so injured.
Yeah, I can see his face.
I can't remember his name. If he hadn't been so badly injured, he would have been sent off, I think, anyway. Yeah. But I mean, and he was out for a long time with that.
He was.
But following on that FA Cup win, we got this. Now, even though this is against the Arsenal, I still like this. I love this song.
To Christmas Day, every team that's in the country, they get their chance to play. They all deserve a big thank you, all for taking part. And there's a team who deserve a special mention. Let's all sing from the heart. We're off to Wembley because we beat the Arsenal. We're off to Wembley.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. It is one of the
first time
ones,
I heard that song, I liked it. Yeah. I shouldn't do, but I do. Yeah.
No, it's one of the better ones, wasn't it?
Well, I do like Chaz. I saw him in concert once, Chaz and Dave.
Oh, right.
They were fantastic. No. Shame he died, old Chaz, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they were great.
They were true Tottenham fans.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. And that song, it's just fantastic. I love it. Right, after that. Top that. Right, winning the match 2-1 after extra time, Spurs become the first team to win 8 FA Cups. By the summer of 92, Gascoigne's knee had recovered and he was sold to Lazio for 5.5 million. It was supposed to be about 7-odd million.
Yeah, I think they delayed it for a year. Did he not? At some nightclub and he fell over down the steps.
That's right,
he damaged it again. So I think they sort of delayed it for 12 months.
So you've lost Gascoigne. Gary Lineker then announced he would be leaving. Spurs in the season of playing Japan. Paul Walsh and Paul Stewart also left the club. Now, talk about Lineker. What do you think of him as a television presenter on Match of the Day? Do you like him?
I think he's okay, but I do think he's middle of the road. I don't think he's controversial.
He jokes all the time. Mind you, he's got Danny, what's his face?
Yeah.
Danny Murphy and Shearer. There must be two of the most boring men in the world, aren't they?
Yeah.
And what I can't understand is why he was the most highest paid BBC employee.
I suppose, I don't know, Exingham captain at the time.
Late night show on BBC.
Yeah.
That just does a little bit in between each game. I could never understand it. Well, you were bothered. He must have earned millions from them Walkers adverts, wasn't he?
Yeah, he must have done it. Oh, God,
done it for 30 years.
Yeah.
I bet he made millions.
Yeah.
Right, we then had some legal argy-bargy involving Venables and Alan Sugar. Despite being seen initially as a saviour of the club, a large selection of fans are calling for his resignation. And now the Premier League arrives. Now, do you notice a big difference in the Premier League to the old First Division? Did it really make a lot of difference? Or
no,
is it just name?
No, I don't think it did. It was a bit more razzmatazz and a bit more... but. Yeah, I mean, the football was no different, was it? You didn't think from the end of the First Division to the beginning of the Premier League, God, the football's changed, everything's different. No, and then the, just a name.
The second division becomes the championship.
Yeah.
Now it's League One. I remember I was, something on the radio, it was the Rochdale manager, and they said, is the club making headway? Like, I goes, oh, yeah, he says, we used to be in the fourth division, but now we're in League Two.
Yeah. It's true, though, isn't it?
That's a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Tottenham reinforced their attack with signings Terry Sheringham and Darren Anderton. Former fan favourite Ozzie Ardiles took charge of the club. Now, Darren Anderton, what was his nickname, mate?
Sick note. Again, on his day, he could be unplayable. But I just want enough of him. And it was always like he's injured or he's injured. And you know, it just, you know.
Yeah, he was a good player, but he spent more time on the treatment table than on the pitch, didn't he?
He did, yeah. That's why I was sick note.
We used to call him Hockey Sticks in this house because he looked like a girl.
Run like a girl.
Right. After a couple of very average seasons, they signed three players who had appeared at that summer's World Cup. Two Romanians, Ilie Dimitrescu and George Popescu, but more excitedly, German striker Jürgen Klinsmann. Now, you must have been excited when Klinsmann arrived.
Yes, I was, yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if you had all these players in the same team.
Well,
you had some good players, didn't you?
I think I can't remember our first game. So Ozzie was in charge, but we had five forwards.
Yeah,
we played
just about
five
to say
up
that.
Front.
Yeah,
you know. And
it says here,
we're going to win 10-9 here.
Ardiles chose to play five attacking players, dubbed the famous five: Klinsmann, Sheringham, Anderton, Dimitrescu, and Nick Barby. He was a decent player. Yeah. You'd need a hell of a defensive midfield pair to protect them.
But
you didn't have them, did you?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Yes. The first game of the season was a 4-3 win against Sheffield Wednesday. That's when Klinsmann done his famous celebration where he died. But the imbalance of the team also leaked goals. You let in 33 in 15 games. Over to a game. You can't do that.
You can't be winning things at doing that. No.
Spurs struggled in September, and after a 3-0 League Cup defeat at Notts County, Ozzie Ardiles was sacked. It's always a shame when legends come back and as a manager
as
they
a
struggle.
Manager, yeah.
And then they start getting the old booze, you know. It sort of takes something off. But then 10 years later, they have something at the club. They walk around and it's all forgotten.
Yeah,
they just remember.
Of course it is, yeah.
Always, there is one exception to that, but they give him a round of applause, like, you know. Who could it possibly be? Do you know who came in then?
What year?
Jerry Francis.
Oh, yes.
I liked him as a manager.
Yeah,
I thought he had a bit about him.
Yeah.
He steadied the ship and got the club up the table to finish seventh. But he did have a shock that year when you reached the FA Cup semi-final against Everton.
Yeah, well, did we lose 4-1 or something like
4-1.
That?
4-1, that was a shock.
Yeah.
Well, Everton weren't a bad side.
No.
I can't remember the name of the old Nigerian bloke.
Emma Carchi or something like that.
Yeah, he was a decent player. He scored a couple. All right, Klinsmann finished top scorer with 29 goals in all competitions, but returned to his homeland to sign for Bayern Munich. Mm. Disappointed?
Yeah, very. I think Alan Sugar was at the time, wasn't he? Did he say something about he wouldn't even use his shirt to wash his car?
Didn't he sign his shirt and give Alan Sugar a bit of clean your car?
Probably, yeah.
I don't mind. Did you watch The Apprentice?
A little bit, not all the time.
I've seen everyone. I love it. I do. I'm supposed to be coming back this year. I hope so. Right, Barmby, Dimitrescu and Popescu also departed. Now, it was alleged that you had the chance to sign Dennis Bergkamp, but Francis turned it down. Have you heard that before?
No, I haven't. No.
I've heard that before. I've read that somewhere.
No, I haven't heard that one.
But it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Apparently, he turned down Bergkamp and brought in Rule Fox and Chris Armstrong. Not the best bit of business, mate, was it?
No, not much to say there.
Right, Sheringham left in 97, and in comes Les Ferdinand and David Ginola.
Okay.
Two good players.
Yeah. But I'd still prefer Sheringham to have been there.
Yeah, Sheringham and Klinsmann.
Yes, as a partnership, it would have been,
Right, Francis decides to resign in November 97 following a 4-0 defeat by Liverpool. And then who becomes manager this time?
Would have been Christian Gross.
It was Christian Gross, coach of Swiss champions Grasshoppers. Why?
because he was cheap, probably, and and he supplied his own rail ticket.
Oh, that was funny, wasn't it?
Excuse me. Yeah.
It was just, the opening press conference.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
No, it is. I mean, who's doing this? I mean, I suppose he was champion of grasshoppers.
Yeah, but, you know, where would grasshoppers have come in now? You know, Premier
well, they wouldn't
division.
Have been in there, would they?
You know, they would have been relegated, probably, yeah, wouldn't I they? Mean, so, you know.
You might as well bring in the League One champions to get a Bolton's manager or something, yeah. You know. But, yeah, that train, I remember that train. He had got his train ticket out of his pocket or his wallet, didn't he? He doesn't last long, and after losing two of the first three games of the 98-99 season, he is sacked. Then comes the most incredible appointment of all time. Former Arsenal manager George Graham is hired to take over. Now, what were they? They just get ridiculous, yeah, stupid, doesn't it?
You know, as a Tottenham fan, you would make it up.
No, it's...
But it's just, you think, where are they coming from as a director, as a chairman? You know, would any out of the club, would Liverpool have got an Everton manager, or Everton got Liverpool at the time? No, it just wouldn't happen.
Oh, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, he comes under attack from Spurs fans for his defensive style of play, made worse when Arsene Wenger was achieving major success playing attacking football normally associated with Spurs. So we've turned into you, and you've turned into us. Yeah. You're 1-0 to the Tottenham, and we're winning 4-1 and 4-2 every week, playing great football.
But we didn't win 1-0. We was losing 1-0.
Yeah. Ah, but he did win a League Cup.
He did.
With a 1-0 win over Leicester City with a diving header by, do you remember who, in the 93rd minute?
That was, 93rd minute. I was thinking of a Chelsea game. No.
Alan Nielsen, was he Danish?
He was Danish.
Yeah. I mean, he won you a trophy. I mean, it's been a while, mate, so he got you a trophy, but he did have a chance. And the funny thing is about that season, Man United won the treble, right? So they won everything.
Yeah.
Who's Footballer of the Year? David Ginola.
Did he win both of them?
I think he did.
The players,
the writers as well.
Yeah,
so it must have had a good season. But even so, I thought there's an interview with Ferguson where he just can't believe
it.
Yeah. But I mean, that strange things happen. But then you sign Ukrainian striker Sergei Rebrov of Dynamo Kiev for a club record £11 million. Yeah. Bit of a dud, wasn't he?
I would say more than a bit, yeah.
He scored 10 goals in 4 seasons. That's pathetic.
Yeah, for a supposedly world-class striker.
That's 2.5 goals every year.
Yeah.
I don't know who he scored the half a goal against. No. Right, Sugar then sold his share holding of the club, and Daniel Levy became chairman. A month later, George Graham was sacked. So he's not a big fan of George Graham.
No,
then.
Obviously not. Or the Arsenal. Yeah.
He's still there now, isn't he?
Yeah,
bloody hell. Yeah. The management is passed on to Glenn Hoddle. His first match was an FA Cup semi-final defeat at Arsenal. Do you remember that game? They sent us both up to Old Trafford.
Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
I mean, what are they thinking of? Not only for the...
Why not Stamford Bridge? Why not...
I don't know, anywhere. You know, I mean...
Why not... Well, I suppose in them days, I don't know, Wembley was only the final, but it seemed to be some of the semi-finals were played at Wembley. The Gascoigne... One, wasn't it? The Arsenal where Gascoigne scored the 30-yarder. That was at Wembley.
I mean, it was, I don't know, the inconvenience of fans having all that money, but they're asking for trouble, both sets of fans going up at the same time.
Was Wembley being rebuilt at the time?
Oh, it might have been, yeah.
And would it have then been, have to go to Cardiff?
Yeah. It could be that. I think you went 1-0 up in that game. We come back, I think Bobby Pirès might have scored. But then... Hmm. That summer, club captain Sol Campbell joined Arsenal on a Bosman free transfer.
Who?
Sol Campbell, Tottenham legend. The loss of a transfer fee and moving to their local rivals led to a long-term hostility towards Campbell from Spurs fans. That is an understatement, isn't it?
They hated him. I can't say I hated him, but I just thought, being the club captain and going for nothing, if he would have signed a contract and then got sold, we would have got something for him. I think the fans would have thought, well, we've got something for him. But go to your biggest rivals from club captain for nothing, I think that was the kick in the teeth that sort of most of them.
I can remember being in work, working in the dark room, and you coming round saying, I think you got yourself a centre-half, mate.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Oh, I thought he was great.
Yeah, no nonsense, you know, got stuck in, athletic, you know, good in the air. Not bad on the floor.
But looking at it as a, not me or you, but as a neutral and him, it worked out, didn't
it? Yeah, it did.
The same as us and Ashley Cole. I know he wasn't their captain, but he was their sort of young superstar player. He left us because we were on the wane and he won trophies.
Yeah.
And the same as old Campbell.
The same as Campbell. And so, the same as I think Kane will do.
Well,
if he
that's
goes.
It. I mean, you know, why didn't he go?
No one come in with 150 million.
No, I suppose not. Mind you, they wouldn't get no money back, would they?
No, I
think... Because he's 28?
He's 28 now.
Three or four years. Yeah. Who's going to buy him at 32?
Well, I think they're talking about him signing a new contract, which obviously he's going to get more money, but there'll be a clause in it if someone comes in...
Does he need
in,
more money, John?
Well, no, but that's part of the contract, for him to sign it, and the clause will be, if someone comes in with 100 million, you accept it. And I think that's how it'll go.
I think it's how many goals would he have scored for Man City?
Loads. Yeah.
I mean, if he played all 38 games, he could get about 45 goals, I reckon.
Yeah.
Easy. But he didn't, and he's staying there, so good luck to him. The following season, they again reached the League Cup final, but lost 2-1 to Blackburn Rovers. That was a shock.
That was
it?
A shock, yeah.
Your son went at that, didn't he? It's at Cardiff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember you saying your son went.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to lose. I think Andy Cole scored the winner.
I think he did, actually, yeah. Yeah.
So, Robbie Keane and Jamie Redknapp arrived in time for the 2002-03 season, which ended in a league position of 10th. The 03-04 season started poorly, gaining only 4 points from 6 games. With Spurs struggling third from bottom of the table, Hoddle was sacked. See, that's another ex-hero getting the sack.
Yeah, legend, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you think to yourself, I suppose if you come back and you do really well, then you're going to be even a bigger legend. But there's always a chance that you're going to fall flat on your face.
I think
and
so. Then... he was sacked by Levy and Pleat took over again as caretaker manager. In June 2004, Tottenham appointed French team manager Jacques Santini. Now, he couldn't have been that successful because if he was there at the 2002 World Cup, that was when they defended the World Cup. And I think they lost to Senegal in their first game.
Yeah.
And went out of the group without scoring a goal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know if he... I mean, it must have been him, because he could have been manager for a year.
No, no.
So, I mean, that seems incredible to me.
Yeah.
In early November, he quit and was replaced by his assistant, Martin Yeo. I liked Martin Yeo as a bloke.
He was straight talking.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah. He called up, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, shovel a shovel.
Or was it a doodle?
Yeah.
I know he had a bit of a Barney with Wenger on the touchline.
He did,
he?
Yes. Yeah,
sort of grabbed hold of each other and that, you know, but Wenger had that with most of them. Among the players signed by Yol were Edgar Davids, Dimitar Berbatov and Gareth Bale. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Davids nearly, I think he was on the wane.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he used to wear those.
So he must be good in the dressing room, you know, to have that status of player in the dressing room.
Yeah. He looked funny with, like, skiing goggles all the time,
yeah,
like, you know.
A bit odd.
But yeah, Berbatov turned out to be a really good player, but then you go and sell him. So.
Gareth Bale's rubbish, wasn't he?
yeah.
But who went the other way? Who left? Michael Carrick left to join Man United and reported 18.6 million.
Again, you know, you're selling your best players at the time.
What did you think of Carrick?
I think
you weren't going to hurt. I mean, if you're playing Tottenham and you see Carrick, oh, you think, oh, yes, all right.
Yeah, as you say, he weren't going to score 4 or 5 goals a game and hurt you. But I thought he was a good player. He got his foot on the ball.
Always available. A bit like Ray Wilkins.
Yes, yeah. But he could go forward a bit more. Wilkins always used to go sideways for me, where Carrick did pass the ball
the crab.
Forward. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and when he went United, he was successful. It worked out well for him, didn't it?
Ferguson
I mean,
really rated him, didn't he?
Mm. But he's still there now, and he is part of the management team.
He is, yeah, yeah. He was sorry the other day, or the match of the day.
Yeah.
During the 2005-06 season, Tottenham spent 6 months in the top four, They led Arsenal by 1 point, but were defeated in their final match at West Ham after many players succumbed to food poisoning following a meal they had the night before. Now, I can't believe that's 15 years ago.
No, no.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
There was all sorts of allegations being thrown around, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Arsene Wenger went in the old...
The chef was a Arsenal supporter, yeah, and he'd give us some dodgy, was it lasagna or something like that? Yeah. The night before. But
let's face it, if West Ham know you need a point to qualify, they hate you more than you hate us, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why they hate you so much, but they do. Yeah.
But as you say, they just raise their game. I think we've been beaten by West Ham more times in the last half a dozen years than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, 15 years ago. Mm. Bloody hell. They were picked for a Champions League place. In the following season, they finished fifth for the second straight year. The 07-08 season saw the club win only one of their first 10 games, their worst start for 19 years, and Martin Joel was sacked. Now, weren't he sacked by Tex, didn't he?
Apparently so, yeah.
I mean, that's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's just, you know, it was face-to-face and call him in and give the reason and, you know.
Did he go to Fulham after you? Did he go to Fulham or was it Fulham beforehand? I don't know.
No, after us, I think.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. I liked him as a bloke. Juan Ramos takes over. Captained by Ledley King, Spurs win the League Cup, beating Chelsea 2-1. Yeah,
Woodgate scored, I think.
Yeah, he was a good player. Woodgate.
Yeah, but injury, wasn't it? You know, it was just...
Ledley
he was
King
injured.
Was good, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Considering he never trained, I mean, I don't know if he would have been any better if he was like a normal player. So, you know...
Well, if you'd thought we could have had Sol Campbell and Ledley King as our centre-halves, yeah.
I remember that in work when... We had a bloke called Rory, didn't he? He worked with Peter. They worked together. One was Chelsea, one was Spurs. And when Peter came in, Rory put this great big banner up, didn't he? That went down like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
Right, Luka Modric was signed towards the end of the season, but Berbatov was sold to Manchester United and Keane was sold to Liverpool. Did you know much about Modric when he arrived?
Nothing at all, really. No, nothing at all. I can remember I was on holiday... abroad in, I think I was somewhere in Spain, and my boy phoned me to say, oh, we just sold Robbie Keane to Liverpool. I was like, oh, we've lost Berbatov and we've lost Keane.
It must have been sick of losing Berbatov because he was a class act.
He was a class act, yeah. Yeah, you just needed players around him. You needed someone to work for him.
Cause he done well for Man United.
He was never going to... You're not being funny, chase the ball. He was never going to be an Ian Rush and run, you know, shut people down and that.
I think that's just the way, George Graham as a player. Some players just got a lazy gait, haven't they?
But give him the ball in the box and that. And,
oh, yeah, he was dangerous, he was. Right, Tottenham made their worst start to a season in the club's history in 08-09, failing to get a win in any of their first eight games, leaving them bottom of the league. Ramos was sacked and in comes Harry Redknapp.
What can you say about Harry, eh?
He got things moving and they finished the season in eighth place. The January transfer window saw the return of Jermaine Defoe and Robbie Keane. Later, Peter Crouch and joined in the summer and Raphael van der Vaart in 2010. He was a good player.
He was a very good player, yeah. Very good player, yeah. But I think we signed him on deadline day. I think it was right at the last moment.
He had a bit about him.
He did have a bit about him, yes.
He was a bit of Jack the Lad player, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, even though he was a Tottenham player, I can still appreciate him.
Yeah. He sort of made us tick a little bit. I think it was a bit like, you know, not a superstar, but a name coming in and it lifted everybody. And, you know, a bit like Ronaldo going back to Man United now. And I reckon dressing rooms all picked up and it's all buzzing and... Oh, yeah.
He was a real class act. What about Crouchy?
They all seem...
Dulwich Hamlet director.
He is now, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so you don't need a ladder to put the nets up, though, do they?
But he was good on the... It's an old saying, isn't it? He's very good on the ground for a big bloke. But he was.
He was good on the ground, yeah. Yeah.
The team's performance improved in the next two seasons. The 09-10 season included a 9-1 win over Wigan with Defoe scoring five. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Did you have him in your fantasy team?
No.
No, I didn't either.
No, because he didn't do it every week.
No. In 10-11, they qualified for the group stages of the Champions League and came top of their group. In the round of 16, they beat AC Milan 1-0 on aggregate. But after Peter Kratz got sent off in the game at the Bernabeu.
They lost 4-1, didn't they?
4-0.
4-0.
5-0 on egg.
Yeah.
But it's still the big time now, isn't it?
Yes, you was in the big boys. Yeah.
I mean, that Champions League, I'm not sure about the Champions League in Europe. I mean, I might be saying that because we're not in it no more, but
I think it's just
the group stage.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think from sort of being a youngster and growing up, it was always the champions. It was the champions, and you just got drawn out of a hat. You know, your first game, you could be Barcelona, Real Madrid, or you could be, well, no, you wouldn't have because they both wouldn't be champions, but Liverpool, Real Madrid could have been the first game of the season, like, you know, the first round. It was just, you know, drawn out of a hat.
What's his name? The French bloke. It was a French superstar footballer. In the 80s.
Platini?
Yeah. When he was in charge, he had this idea of the Platini Cup. And it will be just one straight knockout, and it'll be like the top 10 teams of every country.
Right.
Obviously, you get more if you're a bigger country. You get 3 in Turkey, so we get about 10. It's just in one big knockout. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe you just have it over one game.
Right.
You know, so you get home advantage, like the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? That would be, every game would be exciting.
Yeah,
You must remember the European Cup and that.
God, remember watching, I mean, it used to be always Liverpool seemed to be. But they was, you know, all the nights at Liverpool went in the Anfield in front of the Kop and that, and David Fairclough and Super Sub.
The Man United ones in the late 60s and, you know. And
yes,
that.
Yeah.
They were fantastic. Even West Ham, I mean, they had their moments. But, I mean, I was at Ivory when they won the European Fairs Cup, as it was then, when they beat Anderlecht 3-0, come from 3-1 down. And they were magic nights, but I don't know. It's just not the same with this league thing. It's just not the same. But
no, it doesn't get excited, does it, until the knockout stage?
It'll never change, though,
because of the money,
of course it will.
Yeah.
That's it. Where are we now, then? In 11-12, they again finished fourth but failed to qualify for the Champions League. Now, that was because Chelsea won the Champions League.
Yeah.
Mind you, they did beat Bayern Munich in Munich.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they deserve it for that. But, I mean, that's a choker, isn't it?
Yeah.
They finished sixth.
Yeah, so why couldn't 5 teams go in it? But, you know, the rules are rules.
It was this time Harry was in line for the England job.
Yeah.
But it quite happen, did it?
No, it didn't, no.
And they were fans were shouting out, "Stay, Harry." That song they sang, I can't remember what it was now, but there's a song they sang about "Don't Go, Harry," or something like that. I mean, one game on the Sky there, they sang it the whole game. But he would have gone if he'd offered
it. If he'd have been offered it, he would have gone, yeah.
So who did they get instead? Roy Hodgson. He was a disaster as an England manager, wasn't he? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, not inspiring at all, was he? Not, he just didn't.
Nah, lost to Iceland.
Yeah.
They were awful. He won all 10 qualifying games. Well, so what? You're playing Montenegro and Albania, I mean.
As soon as
he came to the big guns, mate,
he stood on the sideline and he looked and he just thought,
I think one of them, I don't know if it was the World Cup or the Euros, we were knocked out before Germany played their second game.
Yeah.
Because he was a disaster at Liverpool. He couldn't handle the big players.
No, he couldn't.
They had no respect for him.
No.
So you,
he didn't have that.
I was surprised he didn't get the Tottenham job. All the other duds did, didn't
they?
Right, in June 2012, after failing to agree terms with the club, Redknapp is dismissed. Now, over to that point now, the club appointed Andre Villas-Boas as their new manager. I mean, he was a disaster at Chelsea. Why would you do it?
I don't know. It mind boggles. You just think, you know, can you make any more worse decisions? I don't think you can. It just seemed to be one sort of, you know, disaster after another.
Well, he opens up by signing Gylfi Sigurdsson, Jan Vertonghen, Hugo Lloris and Moussa Dembele. Pretty good signings, weren't they?
Yeah, Dembele was a really good player.
Sigurdsson never done it at Tottenham, did he? He's a good player.
Yeah.
And he's sort of doing a bit, but he's not really a major, he sort of failed to fulfil the potential.
Yeah, I think that's sort of as a holding midfielder. He, you know, no one knocked him off the ball, and he always seemed to, you know, win the ball. And Sigurdsson never done it at Tottenham, I think. No. You know.
But Dongren was good, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And he never lost his parting, did he?
No.
rained, or here all the game was, how many times he had the ball? Yeah. Perfectly straight parting.
Yeah.
What about Lloris? Is he a top goalkeeper? Really, really top goalkeeper?
No, I think there's a mistake in there. I just think it's... I don't think his kicking's great. I don't think he's great at crosses. I think reaction and sort of a stop, a shot stopper, I think he's not bad, but I think his position is not great. And as I say, I don't think he comes for crosses. He doesn't give you that presence. You don't look at him and you don't think like the Italian goalkeeper, Donnarumma or whatever. He looks, you know, big and he looks unbeatable and he looks, you know, Lloris doesn't.
We've got some good goalies in the Premiership at the moment, haven't we?
Yeah, I think Schmeichel's a really good keeper.
Yeah,
and I think the one you sold to Villa, Martinez, I think he's a really, really good keeper.
You sold the wrong keeper?
Yeah, I think you did. I think
and then we
really
sold
the
£23 million backup.
Yeah.
Mental, wasn't it?
Well.
So we're just as mental as you now, mate. You've dragged us down to your level.
Well, that's bad, Dave.
Modric left for Real Madrid. Now, was Modric a really, really world-class player? Like, he won World Football of the Year. Well, Ronaldo and Messi were still in their peak. How did that happen?
But is it because he took them to the World Cup final?
You look at the team sheet, you don't think...
How many goals did he score over, I don't know, 10 years for Tottenham and Real Madrid? You can probably, in single figures, 10 maybe 15 over 10 years. I can remember him scoring the odd long-range shot.
I know my mate Wiz really rated him. He thought he was great.
Again, but he's always available. He's one of those players that always seems to be, wants the ball. It doesn't matter where he is, he wants the ball. He gets it, he gives it, and he goes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a decent enough player, but I don't think he was World Player of the Year. I can't see it. Right, 2012-2013 season, you finished fifth, so you qualify for the Europa League. In the Europa League the following season, they went out to Swiss side Basel on penalties.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing. You don't expect that, do you?
No. No.
I wonder if they're Christian Gross as their manager. That would have been sweet for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know where he was then, but no.
At the beginning of the 13-14 season, Gareth Bale moved to Real Madrid for £100 million. The money was used to buy players who included Christian Eriksen and Eric Lamella. Now, Eriksen was a good player.
Yeah, I think we got him for just over 10 million or something like that, 13 million. I think he was the bargain of the lot. Of the seven or eight players we brought, the rest, I think Lamella was 30 million.
He made 177 appearances over eight seasons and scored 17 goals.
And I think he probably got 177 yellow cards.
Oh, he was so angry, wasn't he? It was like he was looking for a fight all the time.
He was just flying in all the time. He never stood up and tackled. Just, you know, within 2 minutes of coming on, you thought, you know, straight on the app of the thingy, Bob, yellow card for Lamella. How much is that?
He did score that goal against Arsenal last season, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think that could have gone anywhere, couldn't it? You know,
I don't know if I'm biased, but they raved about it.
If it had missed, if it had been in my team and it had missed and it had gone past the post, I'd have been screaming at him for, you know, trying some fancy.
But he did miss it when he went in, I suppose. You know,
if he'd done it 50 times, would he get it in 50 times?
Probably not.
No. So.
Right, following a 6-0 defeat against Man City and a 5-0 defeat against Liverpool, Villas Boas was sacked in December 2013 to be replaced by former Spurs player Tim Sherwood. His results against the top teams were disappointing and he was sacked in May 2014. Mm. Now, this is when you had Adebayor.
Yeah.
Now, Adebayor, he plays like a World Footballer of the Year for the first six games at the club. When we had him, he looked fantastic. But then he just don't bother anymore.
And when he went to Man City, he looked fantastic. As soon as he gets that contract, oh, great.
I don't have to do anything anymore.
And then 6 months down the line, he's like, who is this bloke?
I remember even Sherwin used to do that saluting thing to each other. I don't know what it was all about.
God knows.
Right. Maurizio Pochettino was appointed manager on the 27th of May, 2014, on a 5-year contract. Did you know he was Southampton manager?
He was
wasn't
the Southampton.
What did you think of that one?
Again, it was a bit. Southampton played good football, and you thought, okay, there's potential there. But didn't really know much about him. He was, you know, he didn't
speak the lingo when he first came over, no, did he? He used to have the interpreter, but he conquered that. Got to give him credit there.
Hmm.
In his first season, Spurs finished fifth in the table and reached the League Cup final, but were beaten 2-0 by Chelsea. He encouraged the youth system, and in come Harry Kane, Dele Alli, and Eric Dier. Spurs had the youngest player in the youngest team in the Premier League. Hmm. Now, what was it you used to say about Harry Kane when he first came in the Tottenham team? I said, "Oh, he looks a pretty good player, John."
I didn't rate him at all, and you know what? I'm still not 100% convinced.
Bloody hell! He's got to do a lot to impress you, then.
I don't know.
Always scores against Arsenal. Always.
Well, he's gone up in my esteem in there. Because I used to go and watch him.
To quote you, you said he was fucking useless, didn't you?
I did. He just seemed to be so cumbersome and so slow and so, you know, he used to drop deep and then get the ball and then go. But he was so slow, he couldn't get back in the box like in time, you know. It just seemed to slow everything down for us.
So you didn't see him as England captain back in them
no,
days?
No, I didn't. No, not at all. Never.
I don't really like a centre forward as captain anyway.
If you read the people in charge at Tottenham at the time, you know, like all the coaches and that, they never ever thought he was going to make it. He was loaned out to Orient. He was loaned out to Millwall. Yeah, and he was right, like, you know, never come back with, I think, Norwich as well. No, you know, never sort of, he didn't like, you know, Defoe when he left, like West Ham went to Bournemouth or whatever. Yeah, Bournemouth, you know, scored 4 or 5 goals. He was always scoring.
I think he scored about 11 on the trot, Defoe.
Defoe did,
different
yeah.
games, yeah, he yeah, set a
yeah,
record.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think, you know, he got a couple at Orient, he got a couple at Millwall, got one or two at Norwich. You know, you didn't think, oh, this is 18-year-old kid. He's not, you know, like Shearer, when he was 18, I thought he was a player.
He scored a hat-trick against Arsenal when he was 17,
Shearer. He was a player. Yeah. There was something there about him. He had that. And I'll never, ever see that in Harry Kane. It just didn't.
Well, Spurs had a much improved 2015-16 season, but their title challenge ended with a two-all draw at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, finishing third behind champions Leicester City. Do you remember that game?
I do.
Chelsea really up for that, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It was, if you stop Tottenham that day, you know, Tottenham are not going to win the league.
Eden Hazard scored a blinder, didn't he?
He did. I think we went 2-0 up.
They were really up for it.
Yeah,
they
were. Absolutely, yeah. And when we was up for it as well, I mean, when you see the tackles were flying in, both sides, not just, you know, Tottenham and or Chelsea, but they both were flying in. But, yeah, I mean, the Hazards at that time was probably one of the best players in the Premier League.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, yeah.
And if he was on form, you know, he was probably untouchable. Yeah, but we went 2-0 up and you see it afterwards, Leicester were celebrating, weren't they? They was partying. You know, they knew that, you know, that had cost us the league.
And the Arsenal snipped into second place there after being nowhere. Now, what do you think of this champions Leicester City? What happened there? Was it just the others?
I just said the others had a dip, yeah. I mean, they was a good side, but how many people back then
They're just as good now. I think they're on about a par. Oh, Leicester fans probably just switched off, but I don't know. Yeah. I just think it was just a strange year.
Yeah.
Everyone had a dip. I mean, even Tottenham and Arsenal come second and third.
Yeah.
Man City, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, nowhere.
No, exactly.
All four, the big four at that time, had a dip in form.
Yeah.
What about Ranieri? He got all the credit for that, but I still don't think he knows what he's doing.
No, I think the bloke before was.
Pearson. Nigel Pearson.
Nigel Pearson. Yeah. I think he set it all up and got on how he wanted to play, and then they had a row, I think, and then he left, Pearson left and that. And Ranieri come in, and Ranieri was just there at the right time, the right place. Didn't change the team around because he was a tinker man, wasn't he?
Yeah, was he?
Sort of moved it about a little bit, and then
In the last episode, John had a few words to say about
it. Yeah, and then he just hit the right thingy, Bob. You know, right players in the right place,
and there he is. Just went on a run, superhuman person who takes Leicester to the Premier League and title.
Vardy was scoring goals for fun.
Nigel Pearson must have been tearing his hair out, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right, the following 2016-17 season began with a series of 12 unbeaten league matches. And coming on the back of the previous season, they had a dip in form towards the end of the year, but came back strong in the new year and ended the season with 86 points, finishing second behind Chelsea. Tottenham lost only 4 games all season. 86 points could win you the league.
Win the league, yeah. Yeah. But when, you know, the top team, you know, are flying...
Yeah, they were super that year, Chelsea. Yeah. I mean,
was that what do you call it? His first season as a manager at Chelsea. Was that wasn't Conte? Was it?
I'm not sure because Chelsea changed their manager as much as you do.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was Conte's.
Seems a bit early for him.
Yeah, it might have been. Who was the one that won it?
Oh, they had Ancelotti here for a year, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
But other than that, they changed their manager every year, a bit like Tottenham. But
excuse me.
You're not dying on me, are you, mate?
No, mate.
I'm good. You're not doing a Darren Anderton.
Yeah.
In the summer of 2017, Watt Lane was demolished to allow the new stadium to be completed. All Tottenham's home games in 2017 were played at Wembley. After some delay, the new stadium was completed and opened on the 3rd of April 2019. The first game on the stadium was against Crystal Palace with Tottenham 1-2-0. Who was the first top player to score at the new stadium?
I don't think it was Harry Kane. So I'm going to say... Dele Alli.
No, it was Sun Heung-min.
Oh, okay.
Scoring the first ever official goal at the new stadium.
Who was the first team to beat us here? West Ham.
Oh, yeah. Was it
Antonio, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, brought it down on his chest and volleyed it, and Larissa went, oh, what's going on in the back?
There were some happy West Ham fans that night, weren't there?
Yeah, Jerry, one of them.
Now, tell us about your tour of the stadium, mate. You've been there quite recently.
I've been there in the last few weeks.
What did you think?
I have to say I was extremely impressed. As a from the old White Hart Lane and the old stadiums I've been to, Charlton and whatsoever, it is just absolutely fantastic. Maybe because it's brand new and it's shiny and it's, you know, and it looks, but it's just, I don't know, just so, when you go into dressing rooms, I mean, I've played football for 30 something years as grassroots. And obviously the dressing rooms are nothing like that. But you go in there and you know, I've been in Wembley dressing rooms and stuff like that. Just honestly, they are just like fantastic. They're just, you just, you know, there's like a gym in there. There's like a sauna in there. And it just think, oh, just like absolutely fantastic. And then you go into the NFL dressing rooms and they're like, I don't know. They hold like 50 or 60 people.
Well, they have to, don't they?
Yeah. But
big,
it's just,
big blokes and all.
Yeah. It's just absolutely humongous. And it's just, you just think, oh. And you go up and up and up and then you just look down at the pitch and that. And then when you see like the actual grass pitch comes out in I think it was like 13 minutes or something like that and changes to the NFL pitch. But when it goes into the under the stadium and it's still being watered and it's still being like, you know, the sun's on it and the you know, it's everything's still happening, growing, the grass is still growing when they're playing the NFL, and you just think it's just
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing technology. Just honestly.
So you like the stadium then?
Yeah,
mate.
No, it was
better
impressive.
Than the lane.
Yeah, it just come when you sort of approach it and it's just like all glass, mirrored glass, and you just think it's impressive. It just, yeah.
Well, I must say, I've never been to the new stadium, but Watt Lane, you did get a real atmosphere at Watt Lane. I've been there quite a few times as an Arsenal fan, and God, blimey.
But one end, they're supposed to, is it Dortmund, have got the really good, like, home sort of support for Borussia Dortmund. It's supposedly...
But hostile support they've got.
But it's supposedly the same sort of surround. You get that, you know, that vibe from the crowd that, you know... But yeah, it was really, really impressive, I have to say.
Right, Spurs had a great run in the 2018-19 Champions League after beating Borussia Dortmund, funny enough. Yeah. They sneaked past Manchester City on away goals, then beat Ajax with a hat-trick by Lucas Moura to overcome a 3-0 deficit on aggregate in the second half of the return leg. That was an amazing night, wasn't it?
I didn't watch it.
What? I thought you were a Tottenham fan. I was. You're a Tottenham fan.
And I think we went... Did we lose the first game 1-0? And I think we went 2-0 down.
You were 3-0 down.
We were 3-0 down on aggregate. We went 2-0 down. And I see the 2-0 down and I went, switch off. And I turned the telly off.
A bit like some Liverpool fans must have done.
Yeah, against AC Milan. Yeah. I just turned the telly off. And I sat there and then after a while, my phone was like ping, ping, ping. And even Jerry, I was like, oh, what a game. Oh, you deserved it. Well played. Oh, I can't believe. It's like, what? To get the telly on quick. Oh, Jesus, I've missed it. We've won 3-2, 3-0 on aggregate, and I didn't watch it.
That don't happen every day, mate, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Once in a lifetime, and you
I was so disgusted.
You gave up on the lads.
We got there, and we was 2-0 down, and it was just like, nothing was happening. It was just dead. You know, it was just Ajax were just going to play the game out and they might get a third, you know, and that would be it. So, yeah, I held my hands up and say I didn't watch probably our most important win in the last, I don't know,
just as incredible years. Was the other semi-final. That was when Barcelona beat Liverpool 3-0. And then
Was that the night before?
I don't know if it was the night before. Did they do it on the same night?
No, one was on a Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might be the Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
but the Liverpool one at Anfield was absolutely incredible. Mm. I mean, bloody hell. I didn't see that because Barcelona are a bit of a super team.
Yeah, and they only had to score a goal, really, didn't they? And that would have knocked Liverpool out.
They stuffed them, mate. They stuffed them.
Yeah.
There's that famous one where the goal goes in and all the people in the wheelchairs go out of their wheelchairs.
You know, look on Messi's face. That was the downfall, wasn't it? That was like, you know, get me out of here sort of thing.
So the Champions League final was Liverpool versus Tottenham. And there's a bit of an anticlimax as a match for the neutral.
I think we give a penalty away. I think it was Sissoko in the first couple of minutes.
Did you see that? I watched it today.
And I don't think it's not intentional. I don't see how.
It was like he set him up by.
He's kicked it straight at him.
Kicking the ball up at his arm.
Yeah, he's kicked it straight at him.
That was the controversy, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's like you're 1-0 down in 2 minutes, you're chasing the game.
But his arm is sort of out. I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
but you don't play football, you run around with your arm.
Yeah, you can't, can you? You've got to have balance. When you're going to move towards a ball, your arm is out, your balance. And as I say, he's hit his arm. If it had been down the other end, I would have still said it's not a penalty. It's not intentional.
No.
You know, it's ball to hand.
It was unlucky. It was unlucky.
And then Liverpool have got Mane, Salah and Firmino or whatever. Yeah, and you're chasing the game.
And you chase it and you know how quick they are on the break.
Exactly what they wanted.
And that's what they got you with the last 3 minutes to go. Origi, wasn't it?
Origi.
But, I mean, when you think back to, you know, what's happened before, where you've done nothing for 10 years running, and finished your ninth every year. I mean, now you're finishing high on the table when you're in the Champions League final. So you're in it again next year. Right, 2019-20 season sees Spurs start poorly with only 3 of their first 12 games, including an incredible 7-2 home defeat to Bayern Munich in the Champions League group stage. Did you see that game?
Yeah, I did.
It was like a goal of the season competition in one game.
It's
just shoot the goal and it'll go in.
Serge Gnabry.
It was
ex-Arsenal. And I just thought, it was just like men against boys, I thought.
It was totally outclassed us. I mean,
Totally outclassed us. And it was just a, you know.
It ain't every day you lose 7-2 at home.
No, it's not. Exactly. Yeah. But we didn't build on getting to the Champions League final. We stayed still. It was like, this team is good enough to get there. This team's going to be good enough next year. You see all the good teams, Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, they go and buy someone, even if they won something.
Having said that, you have just built a new stadium, though. The same thing happened to us. I mean, that takes money, doesn't it?
So it does.
You can't keep spend. I mean,
I just think if it had been a Roman Abramovich, you would have bought the stadium, and you would have gone and got your superstar player as well to knock the team on at that next level, and we didn't.
No. As a result, Pochettino was sacked. Good or bad decision, mate? He looked the part, didn't he?
Yeah.
He looked the part, but he just didn't win anything.
No, exactly. And if you want winners, then, you know, he wasn't the person, he's gone to France and he's going to win something, isn't he? Because, you know, he goes...
PSG, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, you don't win nothing there. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, he is a jinx.
Yeah.
He should have bought Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Two jinxes together.
Yeah. You know, you go and get Messi, you've got Neymar, you've got him. Yeah. Oh, so-and-so would be, you know, what's his name, Haaland. It'd be him going there next year or something like that. You know, they spend the money. They go, you know, they win something and they, you know, still spend the money.
So, because you want to become a winner, who do you get as your next manager?
Jose.
The special one.
And, you know, to be fair, I don't know. It's just, obviously, the type of football he was playing was 1-0, shut up shot.
George Graham again.
And they, you know, but he didn't have the players at Tottenham to do that.
When you said that, Chelsea, though, Kane and Son, that was a formidable, it still is.
Yes, it
formidable
is.
Formidable scoring partnership, isn't it?
You're
always going to score goals with them two in the team.
Yeah, but then you've got, who was in your back four? Who's your midfield? Winks. Skip, you know, you just think
Winks and Skip.
They
don't play every week though, do they?
Well, they played last week when we lost 3-0 to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, I mean, Winks was in the England squad.
He was, but he's a Ray Wilkins.
He's a QPR player.
Yeah,
isn't he?
Where's our N'Golo Kante? Where's, you know, someone that's you think is going to work and work and work and work and get the ball and give it and, you know, it just...
No. It wasn't a happy reign and he was sacked in April 2021. Ryan Mace took over.
Well, he did get us to a cup final again. Jose.
Oh, he got... Yeah, but he wasn't there when
he
you...
He wasn't there, no. But I mean, he got there and got sacked.
Yeah, but it's a League Cup final, mate.
I know, but
you just
think...
been in the Champions League final, I mean...
Yeah.
But he was
a trophy.
If we'd have
1-0 instead of losing, you'd have thought...
The only problem is you're up against Man City and they're pretty good, aren't they? I mean...
But if you can set a team up, anyone can set a team up to win one game, you'd probably be him.
But losing the League Cup final wasn't the worst of your troubles. The worst of your troubles, you finished 7th in the league to qualify for the inaugural 21-22 UEFA Europa Conference League.
The only good thing about that is we could be the first team to win it.
You qualify for the Europa League.
Well,
we
nearly got locked out.
We lost
1-0 away to some Portuguese side I've never heard of. Jesus.
Oh, but I mean, no one wants to play in the Europa League, do they?
No.
So why the hell would you want to play... In a competition that's lower than that.
Money spinning, isn't it? That's all it is. It's just...
But how many times have we seen it where teams go through the qualifiers, go through the 16, and then they find themselves in, you know, relegation or FA Cup game or reporting league game, and they play reserves in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
I think
and they get knocked out
some years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, don't... Europa League... I'm serious. If Arsenal, I'd rather finish 9th and 5th. To go in that it's almost humiliating, you know.
Yeah.
But there you go. Right, on 30th of June 2021, Nuno Espirito Santo was named the new manager of Tottenham Hotspur. How long is he gonna last, mate?
He might last this season, but was he 9th choice or 10th choice, or was he, you know, it was just
seems a really nice bloke. But, I mean, he's the Wolves manager.
And what did Wolves do?
They're sort of middle-diddle,
aren't they? I don't look at him and I don't see a Jurgen Klopp. I don't look at him and I think he could inspire me. He could, you know, he could get the team, you know, it's on the edge of the pitch and you can see, you know.
No, he don't do anything. You know, he just stands
just
there.
Just stands there. Just, you know, it's like Solskjaer United. To me, he just stands there. He's not...
They do look pretty good at the moment, though, don't they?
As a team, yeah. But, you know, I don't think he inspires, you know, he's not one that you're going to run through a brick wall for. He's not, you know.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting this year with Man City, Man United, Liverpool and Chelsea. I think they're going to be a real,
you know, the Chelsea manager.
It's going to be a great league.
I think he, you know, another one, he's got something about him. He's got that.
He don't look it, though, does he? He looks a bit of a wimp.
Yeah, but he seems to, you know.
He's certainly got them going, yeah, didn't he?
You know, I just think.
I mean, Frank Lampard had the same players, but
yeah,
as soon as he come in, it changed.
I just think with Nuno, nothing inspires me. I don't see that spark. I don't see that, you know, them running through brick walls. There's already sort of murmurings that they're not happy and they're not this and they're, you know. So I just don't see it. We progress from, as my boy said at the weekend, he said, not being funny, it's another Jose. It's Jose's way of playing. Mm. You know, you've gone for, you haven't conceded a goal in the first three games. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. You're going to go to Crystal Palace. You're not going to concede. You're going to try and win 1-0. Get a bloke sent off. You got a goal down. What do you do?
Mm. Right. So, managers since 1967, 22. It's a bit iffy with, that's not including caretakers and interim. But Chelsea had 29 when I've done John Carpenter's one with Chelsea. So, I mean, and they were very successful. No league titles, 4 FA Cups, 4 League Cups, 2 UEFA Cups.
Right. If how many managers would Liverpool have had in that time? How many managers would United have had? 4, 5?
Yeah, not as many.
Arsenal.
But works with Chelsea, doesn't it? 29 managers, they just win stuff every year. Yeah,
but who do they go and buy? Go and buy Lukaku. Go and buy Kante. Go and buy
Abramovich.
Go and buy Werner. Go and buy, you know, they buy every year. Even if they win something, they go and buy.
So, why haven't Tottenham Hotspur won the league since 1961, mate? Why is that?
Because we don't spend any money.
Oh, come on. No, but you spend loads of money. But you've had more big money signings than we have.
But they sell their best players and then they go and buy players to replace them. They don't keep their best players and then go and buy the players to complement them. We sort of go round in a circle. You know, you get your Klinsmann goes, your Berbatov goes, Modric goes, Bale goes, and they get one or two players in to replace them, but they don't keep them players and add to it. And that's what they don't do. Chelsea keep their good players and then they add to them. And we don't. And that's the difference. We're a selling club. We're not a buying club.
So do you reckon they'll ever win the league in your lifetime? You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
I'd hope so, but as a betting man, I wouldn't put money on it.
No. Has your son ever considered suing you for a lifetime of misery?
It was his choice. As a child, he was a Man United supporter. He had all the Man United kits. He had everything. I used to take him to Man United game, any game in London, Man United.
You weren't happy about that, though, was you?
No, that was his choice. I was never, ever going to say to him, I'm Tottenham, you've got to be Tottenham. Never, ever. It was Man United.
Was your dad in the football?
No, not at all. I was going to say, I mean, I played from I was about 14 to I was 48. I played grassroots football. My dad only ever come and see me once.
Bloody hell.
Once. And that was a cup final when I think I was 16. And I think we lost 2-1 to a team called West Brom. My dad was rugby. If I'd have played rugby, he would have probably come every week.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He worked weekends.
No, I just wondered if he supported Tottenham.
No, not at all. I never played football, never supported. He would have been a Crystal Palace because he lived in Sydenham. And all his mates were Crystal Palace. But that was the only reason. Yeah. My boy was Man United up until he was about 10, 11, something like that. And then he went to secondary school and both his best mates were Tottenham. And he went from Man United to Tottenham. And that was it. He's always been Tottenham.
Here's another question, John. Who is the better player, Glenn Hoddle or Paul Gascoigne?
Well, Hoddle was there longer. But if I've got to pick one that's going to win me a game, I'm going to say Gascoigne. I think he had that.
It's so difficult because even though they played really the same position, they were so different, weren't they?
They were so different, yeah.
Hoddle was skillful. Though,
yes,
really.
Yeah. I mean, Hoddle could pick a pass. He could, you know, long, short. Great on the ball. But Hoddle couldn't run past someone. You know, Gascoigne seemed to have another gear.
He liked using the old arms,
yeah, he did,
didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, but, he could sort of be next to someone and then sort of change gear. And you'd think he's still running with the ball. He seemed to be not, you know, not sprinting, but he just seemed to get away from the player and, you know, get in front of him. And then that was it. He'd say his arms were out and you couldn't get past him.
Right. Even though you're a Tottenham fan through and through, right? Are there any, like with me, I always look out for Queen of the South score. When I asked John Kasabi when he done his Chelsea run, he, for some reason, him and his mate looked out for Lincoln, but he couldn't explain why. Do you ever look out for any, is there any other team that you sort of look out for or a second choice?
No, not really. I suppose if there's anyone, it's Charlton. I suppose because I've worked in Charlton for 40 years. And then we were opposite the ground. And when I was an apprentice, if it was bad weather and Charlton couldn't get to their training ground, they used to come over and play on the stone foundries, you know, and used to stand up in the window and you could see them all, you know, training. So probably Charlton, I suppose. But no, not really. I'm more into me non-league football now. I tend to look at non-league results, you know. A few of my mates manage non-league sides and I tend to see how they're doing, how the local side's doing and stuff like that.
Ooh. Well, I think we've just about covered everything with Tottenham Hotspur. There's a lot to cover.
A bit of a roller coaster ride, to say the least. I mean, I would say there was one theory about Abramovich when he come...
Oh, was he in a plane? Yeah,
a helicopter. And he supposedly went over to Tottenham and said, well, whose grand is that? I'd like to buy it. And they phoned up. It would have been Sugar at the time, I think. And they thought it was a fake, a dud, you know, a scam. And said, no, don't worry about it, mate. And he went to Ken Bates. And I think, was it a pound he bought it for?
No, Bates bought Chelsea for a pound.
But I think he took the debts on. I think he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he paid anything to Ken Bates. So I think
he just... Oh, I think you would have. Bates was going to go away with something, wouldn't he?
But then, I mean, how different could that have been?
Well, yeah. But there still seems plenty of them out there, don't there? You know, these people.
Yeah, but I mean, he seems to be... it's a toy for him. A lot of them are business. A lot of them making money out of it. Liverpool.
He's at a lot of games, though, isn't he, Abramovich? He always seems to be
At the moment.
Not
I don't
so much
think
in the...
Because I think there's some...
For the first few years, he was always there, wasn't he?
But I think it's his passport now, isn't it? There's something to do with his passport when he can't come over. So I think it's something to do with his passport. But, yeah, I just think, to him, it's a toy. And, you know, and it's something he can put his money into and enjoy. I think Liverpool want to get a return. Man United want to get a return. Arsenal want to get a return. Tottenham want to get a return. I think he's not. I think if he's the billionaire, you know, maybe you need the Amazon bloke to come along and say, yeah, Tottenham, I want to buy you and just throw the money at it.
Yeah. It's, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Abramovich, suppose he bought Carlisle United.
Yeah.
They could have been champions.
Could have been, yeah.
But he didn't and the rest is history.
No.
Right, thanks, JB, for coming in.
You're welcome.
I hope you come back another time. We're going to do this England side, aren't we?
Yeah.
For the last 50 years. Get old John Kasabi in as well.
Yeah.
And another one I fancy doing is the changes in football since the 70s to now. Or 70s versus now. And compare different things.
No tackling from behind.
VAR's quite good though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not controversial at all. That's not, is it?
Right, I've opened up a Facebook group now on Facebook, obviously, back in the day. So if you've got any disagreements with what JB's been saying or I've been saying, leave some comments on that. It'd be good to hear from you. That's the end of the episode. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.